My beloved people, before I read the epistle this morning, I wish to point out that the importance of this particular epistle, especially being placed at this time in the year's cycle, this epistle is the keystone of our entire spiritual life. The keystone, as you know, was the principal stone in the entire building, that one single stone, which if it was taken out, the entire building would collapse. That was the importance of that one single stone. This epistle is the keystone of our spiritual life. When we speak of charity, for goodness sake, do not think that what we're talking about is giving food, food baskets. The charity here is the essence of our spiritual life, which is the love of God. Do not look at the literary value or the literary magnificence of this epistle, but for goodness sake, listen to what it is telling us. It is the very essence of it all. The first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, if I should speak with the tongues of men and of angels and do not have charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I have prophecy and know all the mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, yet do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, yet do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy, is not pretentious, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, is not self-seeking, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never fails. Whereas prophecies will disappear and tongues will cease and knowledge will be destroyed. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But then that which is perfect has come, that which is imperfect will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I have become a man, I have put away the things of a child. We see now through a mirror in an obscure manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I have been known. So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And the Holy Gospel. Is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus, taking to himself the 12, said to them, Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that have been written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and scourged and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death. And on the third day he will rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hidden from them. Neither did they get to know the things that were being said. Now it came to pass, as he drew near to Jericho, that a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside, begging. But hearing a crowd passing by, he inquired what this might be. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they who went in front angrily tried to silence him, but he cried out all the louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus stopped and commanded that he should be brought to him. And when he drew near, he asked him, saying, What wouldst thou have me do for thee? And he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And at once he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, upon seeing it, gave praise to God. Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, there are many things that we have to give our attention to this morning. First of all, we are at the present moment, and it is certainly not out of place to speak of it. This is what has been called in centuries past Mardi Gras. It is the last little attempt at us to do a little celebrating before the season of Lent begins. It's perfectly legitimate, it's perfectly good, and it has all of the qualities of good Catholic living. Unfortunately, it has been brutalized. Let us not look at the brutality of it, let us look at the beauty of it instead. Wednesday of this week is Ash Wednesday. It is not a holy day of obligation. However, we'll have masses in the church here at 6, at 8 in the morning, and at 7 o'clock in the evening. It is a day of solemn fast and solemn abstinence. Abstinence all day. It is the beginning of Lent. We will, of course, talk on this again later on as we go on through Lent. It is a no-nonsense day. There will be Stations of the Cross and Benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament each Friday during Lent. And this morning, my beloved people, I ask for your prayers, and we shall pray together. We are having a little difficulty at the present time. Our Father Michael's father is quite sick. He's home right now, as a matter of fact. Hope to be back Thursday. Our Father Michael is quite sick. Father is quite sick. Our Father Joseph's mother is quite sick, and our Father Sebastian's father is sick. So I ask you, please, for your prayers.
In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost be upon them now and forever. Amen.
And now, it's a bit unusual, but I should do it anyway. And that is, this morning, I will speak about a movie. First of all, I will speak about the obtaining of the passes to this movie. I have them. I was to give them out to Miss Roy and Mrs. Girardi and Mrs. Henderson. I succeeded in getting them to Mrs. Henderson, but not to Miss Roy and Mrs. Girardi. So after Mass, you see me or Mrs. Henderson for these passes. If you don't have a purple pass to get in, you have to pay. So please get these passes. I particularly want these passes to be for the benefit of our own. And those that you just wish to bring along, we'll have to make other arrangements perhaps for those. I don't know at the moment how fast these will go. So after Mass this morning, see me outside if you want a pass to get into the movie, and you will have to give this pass to the people, whoever taken up tickets, at the movie house on that day. Try to get to the theater about 20 minutes to 4, thereabouts. If I put it a little bit earlier, maybe you'll be there on time. And we will start, and we will recite the fifth decade of the Sorrowful Mysteries of the Rosary in the theater together. And the movie will begin at 4 o'clock. After the movie is over, you're asked to come out here, and we will have a very light repast. I'll tell you right now what it's going to be, so that you will have no surprises. The menu for the evening will be bread and water, and a little bit of cheese, perhaps. There might be some fruit, fresh fruit, for those that might want some fresh fruit. No prepared fruit, just simply apples or bananas. It will be very, very, very penitential. You come as you go, as you come in, eat and leave. No visiting, no talking, as much as possible. And keep the silence that is required of that awesome moment. It's a spiritual moment in our lives. After that, come up here, we will have Stations of the Cross and Benediction of the Most Blessed Sacrament, and it will be followed by Compline. And that should complete about a holy hour. That will be the makings of that day as far as the scheduling goes. Now, I wish to speak a little bit about the developments concerning this movie. As you know, we endorse it and recommend it highly. However, I do think that our guardian devils are all over the place. And they're manifesting themselves in their usual clever ways. We have become completely educated, if we may say that, concerning this movie. And I'm told that tonight there's going to be the ultimate and final blow to kill any devotion that we might have concerning the spiritual element of this movie. When our intellectual curiosities will be completely filled and we will know all of the dimensions and the production elements and the kind of electricity they used and who the hairdresser was and the makeup artist and what type of the brand name of the makeup that was being used and how they did this and how they did that and the qualifications of the cinematographer and all that. But there's one thing that will not be told you. Anything about Jesus Christ. And we will go to the movie, and we will see the movie, and we will see everything that has been told us about it, but we will not see Jesus Christ. We will see the face of the actor. are the actors. And we will not see Christ, we will see the actors. And later on, when we try to use this movie as a means of meditation, when we say the rosary and we meditate on the agony and the scourging and the crowning of thorns and the carrying of the cross and the crucifixion, we will see only the execution of how this was done on the movie set. And a good test for that will be this. When we gather together after we see this movie, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the good reproduction of the actors in the movie. How good this one was and how good that one was and what a wonderful this and a wonderful that and wonderful everything else. We will not be able to see clearly without distraction what happened on that day. This movie is supposed to show us what happened, not only show us, but bring us to it. And all of the updating that we've had since, I must admit in the beginning, I was interested, but I saw clearly, not too long afterwards, I saw clearly that all this updating, the only thing, the only purpose it served was to distract me completely and to take my mind off of the central focal point of it all. What am I supposed to do to save my immortal soul? I want to thank all those who have made tapes for us in earlier days. Please do not make any more tapes for me or for us, especially of the one tonight. We don't want to see it under any condition, now or later. We don't want it because we would like to use this movie as an instrument of meditation in days to come. So my beloved people, this is where we are. And this is an opportunity for us to improve our spiritual life. It's an opportunity for us to witness violence. You know, many people are complaining about the violence in the movie, and perhaps, we should not bring our little children to see this horrible violence. May I remind us all that violence is not in our culture. Violence is our culture, is it not? And our children are more aware of violence than we would ever suspect, because they see it all the time. So let us not use that as an experience. The violence, perhaps, the reason why perhaps we fear the violence in this movie is because the violence in this movie brings to our attention graphically the violence that we have to put into practice in wiping out vice in our own minds, souls, and hearts. And for every vice that we've got, we have got to apply violence. And if sometimes we might think that this is an overstatement, no different from the rest of us, look at the poor alcoholic who is trying to conquer or to bring into control his alcoholism. If you have not come into contact with an alcoholic who is trying to control his alcoholism, you will have no idea of what I'm about to say. But if you have had the good fortune or the misfortune, or whatever, of coming into the presence of one who is trying to conquer alcohol, you will know very quickly the horrendous and profound soul-wrenching violence that this man or woman has to go through in order to bring alcohol into control. And the same applies to anger. The same applies to impurity. The same applies to pride, to gluttony, and to all the other vices. It is a violence. And as I said earlier this morning yet, we have spoken time after time and have referred to it time after time, the importance of love. Please do not misunderstand me when I speak of love and think of it as the love that we speak of today, which is attraction or emotion or whatever else you want to call it. But it is the one and only thing that we must have, the love for God. And as was very clearly said, you can give your life up, your bodies up to be burned. I might add, you can have all the piety, all the reverence, all the everything else you can think of that you could bring to your prayer life. If you do not have the love of God, it is a waste of time. There are better things to be done than waste our time in that way. So, as we begin Lent, let us not waste our time again in making resolutions. I am not going to do this. I am going to do that. I am not going to do the other thing. All these resolutions mean absolutely nothing. Rather, during this Lent, let us go into ourselves. Let us proceed with honesty as we go into ourselves. As a matter of fact, our good friend Shakespeare once said, "To thine own self be true." As we come to the movie, I do not know exactly what age limit you might use in order to bring your children to the movie. Some say 12, some say 10, some say 8. I dare say under 8 would probably be a little much. Definitely, please, no babies at the movie, because they will be a source of completely destroying for everybody, and particularly for the parents. The atmosphere that I hope will prevail at that time. We tried to get refreshments not served, but they say it's where they have to because the management demands that there's popcorn, candy, and cold drinks available in the theater house. I do hope that we will not indulge in popcorn, candy, or peanuts. I cannot imagine eating popcorn and drinking Coke while our Savior is hanging on the cross. I simply cannot imagine that. So it is a serious moment, my beloved people, and we have to take it with the seriousness of them, regardless. Forget all the names, Forget all the faces. Forget all of the ones that are yelling and screaming and jumping up and down and everything else. Forget all of that. Just think only, why am I going to see this production? It is the same as picking up a spiritual book and reading about it. We have lost contact, our generation has, with God. And somehow or other, we have got it clicked in our heads that, you know, I will be able to talk him into overlooking what I'm doing. Well, time will tell. The dealing with Almighty God is not a picnic time. God is not a dictator. He does not have a whip in his hand. He is not going to try to watch every step we make and at the slightest misstep to come crashing down with the whip. He doesn't do that. There are some people that think that he does. Well, let them believe what they wish. God is a good God. He is a merciful God. He is a loving God. And all that he asks of me is that I love him in return. That's all. Is that asking for too much? Does that mean that I have to give up 2 pints of my blood in order to love God? It simply means he's asking me what? He simply is asking me to change my point of view, to change my motive in life. That's all. He's asking me to turn around. We've spoken of conversio so much. Why is it so impossible for me to turn around? I know I'm going in the wrong direction. I know all of this. I condemn the world. I condemn everything that's going on in the world. I condemn hate. I condemn violence. I condemn terror. I condemn all of that. But yet, somehow or other, I'm attracted to it. And I look for it, and I look to it, and I walk toward it in my daily life. There's something wrong with that. There's something very wrong with that. I know I repeat myself very much, and I'm going to be repeating myself for years to come as long as I'm alive and able to talk. I might not be able to walk, but I think I'll be able to talk. So, my beloved people, let us go into Lent with the proper motive. Let us tell Almighty God, I am going to look at me. And I am not going to fool around with it. I am not going to joke around with it. And I will pray that I will have the grace from Almighty God, the saving grace to save my immortal soul. That's all. And if I don't save my soul, my beloved people, no matter however else I am successful in life, no matter how many millions I've put aside and salted away for myself, I will be a failure. Remember the man in the gospel? He was so smart. He built new barns, strong barns, good barns, efficient barns, clever barns. And he filled them with hay and grain and all, he had everything filled to the top. Now he said, I am secure. I have nothing further to fear. That night he died.